All right, can everybody hear me okay? All right, good morning. Thank you for the introduction. This morning I'm really excited to be talking about a new proprietary product that the University of Arkansas has filed a provisional patent on. And it's really exciting and hopefully can help alleviate some of the secondary volatility that we, or the secondary drift that we have in Arkansas and in cotton production in the United States. So I wanted to begin by discussing several formulations of 2,4-D and dicamba. In the center, if you see, I've got an arrow indicating volatility as far as less volatile and more volatile as far as the formulations go. And so on the left-hand side, I'd like to discuss some of the dicamba formulations that we have and have had in the past. So beginning with the most volatile, we have the dimethylamine salt, which is the DMA salt, and the dichlomine salt, which is known as Clarity or the DGA salt. And then here I have between Ingenia and Extendamax an equal sign. And I'm not trying to say that Ingenia is less volatile or more volatile than Extendamax, but I am saying that those two are fairly equal in volatility. And as we move over to 2,4-D, we have our esters primarily as the most volatile, followed by our DMAs and our choline salt, which would be the Enlist technology. And so with that, my point is that there has been research shown by Peterson et al. In 2016 that more volatile formulations of 2,4-D have the potential for greater weed control. And so that may be the case as far as dicamba is concerned and could be one of the primary concerns when we are reducing the volatility of dicamba. And that moves me into how vapor grip works. So when we are reducing dicamba volatility, vapor grip is one of the new technologies that we have that is able to do that. And so the way it works is it has a pKa of roughly 2, which means that 50% is in the anionic form, or the dicamba anion, which is the non-volatile form, and then 50% is in the volatile form at a pH of 2. So the way vapor grip works is ultimately we start out in the salt, the dicamba salt, and we have these two forms. And at a high pH, we typically have the more presence of the dicamba anion. And as we shift to a lower pH, the more volatile form, which is the dicamba acid, which you can see with the hydrogen being attached to the oxygen, creates the dicamba acid, which is the volatile form. And now the way vapor grip works is that it takes those excess hydrogen ions in solution and it takes them and adds them on and forms acetic acid. And that way that acts as a buffer to reduce the volatility of dicamba. And now here I have in the bottom left-hand corner several pHs and showing the ratios of the dicamba anion to the acid at several pHs. And so, and pretty much just trying to get an understanding of how this vapor grip works and what we're seeing. So now that brings me to potassium borate and the difference between potassium borate and potassium acetate, which is known as vapor grip. So we have been looking at potassium borate as an alternative to vapor grip or potassium acetate. And what you notice right off the bat is that potassium borate has 3 times more potassium ions than potassium acetate. So on a mole per mole basis, it has more potential in reducing volatility than potassium acetate does. So as those potassiums are kicked off and put into solution, it creates boric acid with excess hydrogens in solution. And at a pKa of 9.15, we're seeing more buffering capacity than what you would have with acetic acid at a pKa of 4.76. So for that, we first want to confirm that potassium borate has the potential to reduce volatility so that we could move on with weed control. Now, our first objective was to determine if the addition of potassium borate reduced the volatility of dicamba. And our hypothesis is that dicamba applied in combination with potassium borate will demonstrate less volatility in comparison to DGA, dicamba, plus vapor grip, which is Extendamax. So I wanted to show an image of what these hoop trials look like, or low tunnel trials in the field. And so we have a soybean as a bioindicator. As you can see, it's essentially a randomized complete block design with hoops and air samplers. And so in 2019, we have 2 field experiments. So we ran 2 runs in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and we planted a Credenz Liberty Link variety at 145,000 seeds per acre. And that served as our bioindicator. Now, each plot consisted of 2 rows, which were 6 by 20 foot, and there were 30 foot in between each hoop, so that way we reduced any chance of contaminating plots in front and behind. This was a single factor randomized complete block with 3 replications, and all applications were made using a CO2 pressurized backpack sprayer at 15 gallons per acre with TTI 110015 nozzles. And now all applications were made a half a mile from the field, once again, to reduce any potential to contaminate these hoop trials. And also flats and tunnels that were sprayed, or the flats that were sprayed and the tunnels were removed 48 hours after application. Now I wanted to zoom in and focus on what exactly the inside of a hoop looks like. And so what we have in the center is a treated flat with moist soil, and that's what we applied our dicamba treatments on. And we also have a high volume air sampler in the center. And also there are two treated flats, so you have one treated flat on one side of the air sampler and on the other side of the air sampler. And you can see our two rows of soybeans that are not touching the flats, and then our ultimately our hoop that goes over the whole trial for 48 hours, or that goes over the plot. And now for treatments, we have DGA dicamba, DGA dicamba plus potassium borate, and then we have DGA plus vapor grip, which would be Extendamax. And all these were combined with Roundup because we wanted to see an increase in volatility and to be able to get these treatments to separate out better. And all treatments were applied at a 4X rate, with a 1X rate being a half a pound per acre of dicamba, and the glyphosate would be at 1.13 pounds per acre, which is a 4X rate. Now, all treatments had NIS applied at 0.25%, and potassium borate was applied at 3.75 pounds per acre, and all applications were made on V5 soybean. For data collection analysis, one of the ways that we are able to collect data off this is by breaking the hoop down into 8 quadrants. So you can see here how I've broken that down. And in the center, you'll notice there's an orange dot representing where the center, where the air sampler would be and where you would have your flats around that. So generally what we can do is take maximum injury, which around that orange dot is where you're going to find the most maximum injury because that is where your flat is going to sit. Now we can also take average injury, so we can compile all the injury from each quadrant and average those to get that. And then we can also take a distance to 5% injury, so that measures the movement of dicamba through the plot. And then we just measure in feet out to where 5% injury would be. Now, we also take pH of spray solution, and then we have our high-volume air sampler data, which isn't shown in this presentation for time. And all data were analyzed in JumpPro 14.2 using Fisher's protected LSD with an alpha value of 0.05. Now, here I have a graph showing maximum soybean injury as a function of the proton scavenger or potassium borate. And so this was compiled with both experimental runs at 21 days after treatment when dicamba injury would be optimal. Now, on the x-axis, I have DGA dicamba, DGA dicamba plus vapor grip, and the DGA dicamba plus potassium borate on the far right. And then on the y-axis, I have injury ranging from 0 to 30%. Now, what you'll notice is that DGA dicamba, which would be clarity, and DGA dicamba plus vapor grip do not statistically separate. There is a numerical difference, but then again, it doesn't statistically separate. And here we have potassium borate, when that's added, we do get a substantial significant separation with injury. So, and that is also consistent with Mueller and Steckel in 2019. They saw very similar results. Now, I have two images showing the DGA dicamba plus vapor grip plus Roundup, or Extendamax on the left. And then on the right side, I have the DGA dicamba plus potassium borate and Roundup. And I have the orange dots down at the bottom showing that that would be the center of the hoop, so where the maximum injury would be, and then the direction of volatility. So you'll notice on the left-hand side, the DGA dicamba plus vapor grip has substantially more injury, I would argue, versus the dicamba with the potassium borate. And then on top of that, we also see that there's less movement, and it quickly dissipates when potassium borate is added into the tank. So with that, we wanted to look at distance to 5% soybean injury as a function of the additive as well. And once again, this is our average of the two experimental runs at 21 days after treatment. Here on the x-axis, we have the same treatments. And then on the y-axis, we have distance ranging from 0 to 18 feet. Now we see a very similar trend in that we don't get a separation between the DGA dicamba and with the addition of vapor grip. But we do see a significant decrease in distance moved when we have the potassium borate in the tank once again. Now that we established that we do get a reduction in volatility with potassium borate, we can move on and look at its impact on efficacy. So we conducted a greenhouse trial to assess the impact of potassium borate on weed control when applied with dicamba. Our hypothesis is that potassium borate will demonstrate a reduction in efficacy when applied with dicamba in comparison to dicamba alone. One, because we're going to increase the pH so much, so that could potentially interact with dicamba and reduce weed control. So we wanted to test that theory. So once again, this was a greenhouse experiment conducted the fall of 2019 in Fayetteville, Arkansas, Palmer amaranth and prickly cider were planted on either side of a tub, and then we thinned those to 10 plants per species on either side. All treatments were sprayed in the spray chamber with a T-Jet 110-0067 nozzle at 20 gallons per acre using compressed air. So for this, our treatments were three-factor factorial, with the first factor being herbicides. So we had Extendamax with Vapor Grip, Ingenia, and then Clash, which was our form of DGA dicamba used, combined with two rates at a quarter X rate and a half X rate, and then with or without potassium borate. A 1X was a half a pound of dicamba in this experiment, and we added NIS to all treatments at a quarter percent, and all weeds were five leaf at the time of application. So for Palmer amaranth control, 14 days after treatment, we have on our X-axis all of the treatments that we had, and then on the Y-axis we have control ranging from 0 to 100%, the yellow bar indicating a quarter X rate of dicamba, and the orange bar representing a half X rate of dicamba. Now, the orange horizontal bar indicates the means for all the orange treatments, and then the yellow bar indicates the means for all the quarter X treatments. Now, the only difference that we saw regarding whether or not potassium borate was in the tank, we only saw reduction in efficacy when we reduced the rate. So that's actually a really good sign. That's what we wanted to see, that we aren't seeing a decrease in control. Now, we will have to take this to the field to make sure we get the same results, but that's good preliminary data. And overall, the addition of potassium borate significantly reduced our maximum injury, average injury, which our data was not shown in this for this presentation, and our distance to 5% injury, all of which are functions of volatility. And for that, we reject our hypothesis. And also, we did increase our spray solution pH, which I think is very important as far as volatility is concerned, because we see that when we're in lower pHs. Potassium borate did not negatively affect the dicamba of Palmer. Potassium borate did not negatively impact the efficacy on Palmer amaranth. But also, with the rate of potassium borate that we're using, it can alleviate some boron deficiencies that are common in northeast Arkansas. So at 3.75 pounds per acre, that can suffice any boron deficiencies that we have. And that was proven in Slayton et al.'s research in 2002. For future research, I think it's important that we continue to see if we actually are reducing volatility. And so we need to conduct large-scale volatility trials to confirm that. Additional field studies are needed to confirm that there isn't a reduction in efficacy. I think we need to do many of those and establish the spectrum of weeds that we can control. And we may find some that are more tolerant than others with potassium borate in the tank. We do have the possibility to increase the rate of dicamba if we are able to reduce the volatility enough. And overall, I'd like to see some of the impact on tank mixtures and tank compatibility in ExtendFlex cotton systems. So for one being glyphosate, and also with our residual herbicides, because it's important with post applications that we are applying residual herbicides. I'd like to thank Dr. Jason Norsworthy and my fellow weed science colleagues, as well as the Alzheimer Lab, for helping and conduct this research. And at this time, I'd like to take any questions. Yes, sir. So the question was, do I see the same issue of it falling out of solution with potassium borate? And to answer that question, the answer is yes. It is at 30 grams per liter, that's the solubility, and so it is kind of tough to get everything in solution, so we're looking at ways to combat that.